Turn with me to Exodus 35. I will read an extended portion. That is Exodus 35, beginning in verse 20. And I'll read through chapter 36, verse 2. We're looking at about 17 verses. It's not the most interesting material, apparently, until you look very, very carefully. There are various words and phrases that are repeated, and that's what I would like us to give our attention to this evening. And so God's word, as it is found in Exodus 35, beginning at verse 20 through 36, verse 2. Listen to God's word. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence. Everyone whose heart stirred in him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. Then all whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets, all articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. Every man who had in his possession blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and porpoise skins brought them. Everyone who made a contribution of silver and bronze brought the Lord's contribution, and every man who had in his possession acacia wood for any work of service brought it. All the skilled women spun with their hands and brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet material and in fine linen. All the women whose hearts stirred with a skill spun the goat's hair. The rulers brought the onyx stones and the stones for the setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece, and the spice and the oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. The Israelites, all the men and women whose heart moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a freewill offering to the Lord. Then Moses said to the sons of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship, to make designs for the working in gold and in silver and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for settings, and in the carving of wood, so as to perform in every inventive work. He has also put in his heart to teach, both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And he has filled them with skill to perform every work, and in every work of an engraver and of a designer and of an embroiderer, in blue and in purple and in scarlet material, in fine linen, and of a weaver, as performers of every work and makers of designs." Now, Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him to come to the work to perform it. This ends the reading of God's word. We know that the tabernacle is a symbol and type that clearly points forward to and is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In its materials, in its furniture, in its organization and ornaments, it was a picture for Israel of God's dwelling in their midst. Fulfilled in Christ, John writes, the familiar verse, "And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory." what is interesting in this narrative further is the building of this tabernacle. In our text this evening, they're reading through, filled with detail. It's an apparent lack of interest. And yet perhaps perhaps in that lack of interest, there are phrases and words repeated that might encourage our interest. It's a repeating of material, a repeating that, that the Lord showed to Moses on the mountain before they, the nation of Israel worshiped the golden calf, chapters 25 through 31. It's basically a repeating of much of that material. But what begins to vie for our attention are these phrases, phrases that are repeated concerning the bringing of the materials in order that this tabernacle might be built and the various garments might be spun and woven and sewn together, and then how the work was performed. Now, we need to read this text in the light of Moses' sermon that is recorded in chapter 35 that we really considered last Sunday evening. And just to review two basic points in that sermon regarding the building of the tabernacle. The Lord brings, or Moses brings, the word of the Lord to his people. And there are two points: that Israel is to take up a contribution as an offering and bring it to the Lord. Various materials, dyed material, skin, various metals, material, skins, oil, sandstones, various things. Bring these as a free will offering. Other language that's used, contribution in our translation, as a heave offering before the Lord. And so take up the contribution, first point. Second point is let the skillful men come and construct the tabernacle as it's been prescribed. And so these are the two points. Bring the material, bring the resources, and then have those that are skillful use these resources and build the tabernacle. Easy points. Now, in the passage I read for you this evening, we have a response to that sermon. It's almost an exposition of James, not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, because what we find is Israel responding to this sermon of Moses. And so in verses 20 through 29, you have an emphasis on how the people bring these various materials, the metals, gold, silver, bronze, the various materials, the skins, oils, scents, incense, stones, how they bring these materials in order before the Lord, in order that the tabernacle might be built. And so just to draw your attention, verses 21, 22, 26, 29. How is it that they bring these materials? Look at verse 21. Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution. And so you have a very strong and graphic description of a subjective response. They hear the word of God as it's proclaimed by Moses, bring the contributions, bring the free will offering. You have a response. Those whose hearts stirred within them, those whose spirits were moved, came and they brought these things. Now that's repeated again and again. Verse 22, those whose hearts were moved, those whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought. Verse 26, all the women whose hearts stirred with skill spun the goats here. The rulers brought the onyx stone. Verse 29, the Israelites, all the men and women whose hearts moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord commanded through Moses, brought a free will offering. So you have the word of God proclaimed, and you have a response described as hearts being stirred. It's literally hearts that raised them. And the description is that within the Israelites, as they heard the word of God and this call to bring the contributions, and I should say all of these materials, this wealth, was originally given to them, mostly, by the Lord as spoil when they left Egypt. Remember, many of the Egyptians emptied their cupboards and brought the wealth, even the metals, the gold, silver, and bronze, and gave these things to Israel as they were being exiled out of Egypt. So these materials given by the Lord, now in the hands of the Israelites, are being brought to the Lord. And they are being brought to the Lord by this stirring of the heart, this being raised, a description of a desire within them to move them, to get them up, and to bring that which was originally entrusted to them, to the Lord. Hearts stirred, and then the phrase, the Spirit moved, Spirit prompted, another translation, made them willing. Hearts raising them up, Spirit causing them, prompting them, an impulse to bring these contributions. It's a kind of sacrifice that truly is pleasing to God, a free will offering, originally given to them by the grace of God in Egypt, and now, not under compulsion, but sincere desire, brought to the Lord. Second thing to notice is the subjective response. Word of God preached, and it has a response within the heart, within the spirit of the Israelites. There is much today in the evangelical world of extremes where either too much of the subjective is emphasized, how we feel about things, and that is what becomes all important, that measures our spirituality, that measures how God is at work within us, how we feel about things, the one extreme, or the other extreme, which really we see within the Reformed churches, and that extreme of what is objective, not how we feel so much, but what God has revealed, what He has shown in the sacraments and the preaching of the Word, the means of grace. And so it's not so much the experience of our affections that count, but all that the Lord has shown to us, all that we together hear and witness and observe. Well, I think within this text you find a wonderful balance between the Word of God being preached and its effectiveness in the lives of the people. Moses preaches the Word of God, and there is a response of the heart, a response of the spirit, strong graphic language that is describing the experiences of the individual Israelites under the preaching of that Word. And this is what is truly effective ministry. This is the grace of God at work. What is objective? The preaching of His Word, the listening to it, and then by the blessing of the Spirit of God, a change of heart, a desire that rises up, an impulse that directs us in the ways of the Lord to serve Him, to obey Him, to be faithful unto Him, to love Him. And so I bring it to your attention. With all this warning about an extreme being overly subjective on the one hand, overly objective on the other, we listen to what God gives to us in His Word, what is objective. We listen to the testimony and to the witness of what He has done throughout history, and most especially in Jesus Christ, in His coming, His death, His resurrection, His ascension. That's what we direct our attention to. That's how we determine how God is at work within our lives. But we ought to expect a change of heart. We ought to expect a stirring of the heart, a being raised up, a stirring, an impulse, a prompting, a willingness of the of our spirit by the Holy Spirit to do His will. So the contributions are brought, and they are brought in this way, willingly, sincerely, from the heart, from the spirit, bringing these contributions to the Lord. There's one other observation I'd like to make, and answering the question of who is it that brings these contributions? Obviously, it's Israel. But what's interesting is there are various demographic groups that are pointed out. Look at verse 23. Every man who had possession, blue and purple, scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, porpoise skins, brought them. Verse 23. Verse 24. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver and bronze brought the Lord's contribution. Verse 25. All the skilled women spun with their hands and brought what they had spun. Brought what they had spun. So you have men, you have women. Verse 26, all the women whose hearts stirred with a skill spun with goat's hair. Verse 27, the rulers brought the onyx stones and the stones for setting for the ephod, etc. Men, women, rulers. Verse 29, the Israelites, the sons of Israel, all the men and women whose hearts moved them to bring material brought this material to the Lord. What's interesting is that the entire nation is involved in bringing these contributions. Men, women, rulers. The idea is that the nation itself, all the people, that this word of God that Moses preached to bring the contributions, this wealth, touched the entire assembly. And so you have all people coming and bringing this contribution, so much so that in chapter 36, those that are in charge have to say, enough, we have enough of the material, do not bring any more contributions. All the assembly. We can expect that the Word of God, when it's blessed, should really affect us all. And when we are called to serve the Lord, to bring those things that He would want us to bring to show our devotion and our love. Those things that we are to bring unto Him. Let all do it as a church. So the bringing of the contribution. How? Willing hearts, willing spirits. Who? The entire congregation. Men, women, rulers, all. The second point is not only that the Israelites, the nation, brought this wealth, brought these materials, but secondly, that the work to build this tabernacle was performed skillfully. And so you see that in verses beginning in verse 30, really through chapter 36. But look at 31, and referring to Bezalel, verse 31, and he has filled him, that is, the Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship to make designs for the working of gold and silver and in bronze. Filled with the Spirit. You see throughout the text that there is also that language of the heart being stirred, the heart being raising up one to bring his gifts and abilities, women bringing their gifts and abilities to perform the work. And what word you see repeated again and again is this skill, this wisdom that the Lord instills by his Spirit within the people of God, they come and they perform the work. The previous passage, they brought the contribution. Now it's repeated again and again, I think 8 times. They perform the work. It's the same pattern of the Word of God preached and then a subjective response. There is skill of heart that is stirred up. There is a desire, an impulse, a prompting to come ahead, to step up and to do the work. And then to perform it. Skill, wisdom, knowledge that is put in the hearts by the Lord Himself very much like the materials, the wealth that is brought was entrusted to Israel from their being released from Egypt. The Spirit now instills, deposits this skill among the people. I should say that this is a wonderful text to demonstrate that all gifts really come from God. And you could cross-reference this as well to Isaiah. What is it, Isaiah 29 that we read this morning? That last passage in Isaiah which speaks about the farmer and how the farmer has wisdom from God to do his work. Here we have a similar text that by the Spirit, men and women are gifted by the Holy Spirit to do all kinds of things. In this particular case, very artistic work. But these specifically given, set apart, that they might build the tabernacle where God would dwell. And so there's the bringing of the contribution, this wealth, and the performing of the work. We know that the tabernacle is a type of Christ, in which Jesus has come and has tabernacled among us. But it's not only the tabernacle itself, in all of its glory, with all of its gold and silver and bronze, with all of its furniture, displaying the presence of God among his people fulfilled in Christ. But I have to say that the people themselves, in some way, become a type of Christ in the activity of bringing their contribution and then performing the work itself. It's the nation of Israel itself that becomes a symbol, that becomes a picture of what God will do in Christ. Is it not Jesus who came bringing all that he had heard and seen from his Father in order to do that redeeming work? His coming is that which is precious in itself. The Father sends the Son. He sends what is best. He sends what is of greatest measure and wealth. And so Christ comes. He brings that ability to fulfill the law in his righteousness. He comes with that commission to fulfill what the Father has sent him to do. He has come with a glory that is somewhat hidden, but a glory nevertheless of who he is as God. And so he brings that which is entrusted to him by the Father. He brings that and he performs the work. Performs the work that the Father has given him to do. Christ, who has the Spirit without measure, Christ, who is pleased to perform the Father's will, Christ, who comes with that glory from heaven in order to do that which the Father has sent him. Israel is a type. Jesus is the anti-type, the fulfillment. And the church is a manifestation of that which was fulfilled. And so we are called by God to bring not contributions like the Israelites in order to build this tabernacle. No, we are commissioned to come and to bring that which the Lord has entrusted to us by virtue of our union with Christ and being filled with the Spirit. Paul says in Romans, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." And so like Israel bringing the contributions, like Christ bringing his glory in order that he might perform the Father's will, so we too are to come and we are to present ourselves unto the Lord. Exercising those gifts entrusted to us, performing that which the Lord has commanded us to do. In that same context of Romans 12, we are reminded that we are the body of Christ, and by that grace, we are to exercise that grace in service and teaching and exhortation and giving. The one who gives is to give with liberality. The one who leads is to lead with diligence. The one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so we bring that which the Lord has entrusted to us. We bring it, offering ourselves. And in offering ourselves, we perform that which the Lord has instructed us and commissioned us to do. And in so doing, we manifest the presence of God. As Israel would behold the presence of God in the tabernacle, as the apostles beheld the presence of God in Jesus Christ, so the world might behold the presence of God in us. As surely we are Christ's body, the Spirit is within us. And as we present ourselves, as we bring all that we have unto God, consecrating it to His service, and then performing that which He has instructed us to do, we show forth the glory of Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless us as we consider this text from Exodus that is ultimately fulfilled in us in the manifestation of Christ's glory. Let's pray together.